Welcome to Front and Center, from political battlefields to cooperative playing fields. Hello, I'm Michael Maxenny. Today, my partner, Steve Berryman, and I are looking forward to resuming our podcast conversations on a regular basis. We had to set aside Front and Center for the better part of the last year, as we focused on other important projects that we will briefly explain. But most importantly, we are wanting to focus on what we can do, which will allow us to move forward to that more beautiful and just world our hearts know is possible. So, Steve, let's get started. Briefly, would you explain what you've been focused on for the last year plus, and then we'll get into the meat of the, and I'll explain it, and then we'll get into the meat of things.
Thank you very much. Well, mainly I've been writing, and I've been focused on helping my friend and associate Richard Flyer write his book, Birthing the Symbiotic Age, which is a very exciting story and plan for how we actually can create a culture of connection to replace the current culture of separation. And this has really informed all of my work, including the Great Uprising, which we'll talk about a little bit, and how excited I am about the newly launched mission for our Front and Center podcast. We are really helping to create a culture of connection and bringing together what Michael and I think is a sleeping giant. And the sleeping giant has been the American public, who over the past 10, 20, 30 years has become more and more and more disenfranchised from the political system. And now people who identify as independents are more than 50% of the electorate, but they have, until now, they've had no place to go. So we're going to help gather those people into a real community, a meme, a community, and a movement that we believe can move the dial in this election year of 2024. And Michael will tell you a little bit more about that.
Well, what I've done over the last year, got really involved. I was, as you might remember, one of the members of the founding leadership team for the Common Sense Party. Then back in 2022, we started connecting with Andrew Yang and the Forward Party. Then we formed an alliance agreement. And then I was the California state lead to bridge the Common Sense Party and the California Young Yang Gang Forward Partyist. And we launched that, and we're building our statewide registrations to get the Common Sense Party on the ballot here in California to become a new party, a new kind of party. What we learned during that was that there were many reasons that we decided, after working together, the Ford Party and the Common Sense Party, that there were some reasons that we decided that it was best to dissolve the alliance agreement. And so we officially dissolved that alliance agreement at the end of October of last year. And then the new Forward California Party began to take shape, and we elected our first set of new millennial leaders that are young people to lead the building of this new kind of party here in California. I stepped aside and joined the Kennedy campaign in early January, was asked to help there and use what I had learned over the last 14 years in this effort, and particularly under Common Sense Party and Ford Party, to help get the We the People Party on the ballot in California by the end of June, so that we can get a ballot line for Robert Kennedy Jr. to run for president. So that's what took us away. Steve was extremely busy writing on the books. I was extremely busy with the Common Sense Party, the Ford Party, and now the Kennedy campaign. So from there, Steve, why don't you set up a frame of a little bit more about what you were just talking about?
You know, we have two really very powerful ideas that Michael and I have come up with. This idea of front and center, I'm finding, is a very powerful meme, because the American people have been rather passive They've passively accepted the narratives that have been handed to them from one side or the other. And each side, in its own way, has discouraged people from actually thinking for themselves, for finding out for themselves, and for making their own decisions. And so, front and center is a call. It's a call to come front and center. Front is leadership, and center is the place where the leadership is coming from, not the muddled middle center that tries to pretend that there's no difference. And really, it's just another default system for what we already have, but a deep center that comes from the sense that what's been missing in our political discourse and in our society is a sane and sacred center, a place of the heart that's bigger than religion, bigger than non-religion, that anyone who has a sense of some transcendent power, some power of love, some fundamental basis for society that every society has been based on, like the Golden Rule, it's time to gather around that and put our differences aside so that we can focus together, coming front and center to a new kind of leadership. And this is, I think, I like to imagine that the founders of this country 250 or so years ago dreamed of having a population that was adult enough to make difficult choices, to face the music and dance together. And I think that we are finally ready as a body politic to move past the American Revolution to an American evolution, where we evolve from children of God to adults of good, where we evolve from being passive consumers of political narratives to being active creators in our world. And I'm looking at front and center at this time, and the great uprising, and recognizing that we have to wake up, wise up, grow up, and show up, four simple steps. I'm seeing that this is really the movement that I want to put my energy into and call forth this entirely new movement that's been under the radar but ready to erupt. And as Michael suggested, the Bobby Kennedy campaign, he is the space holder for this new movement, and that's why I'm excited about that candidacy as well.
Yeah, I want to comment on something that you said that we've been talking about. People have to begin to think for themselves. With deep fakes now, with AI, and all the things that we have learned about the disinformation, misinformation, malinformation, all of this stuff, and we don't really know how many years our government has been involved actually in perpetrating a particular narrative through the media outlets. Sources, but we do know now that most every mainstream media source, most every story that we see, is got a particular narrative behind it. And what people need to do is to go back and connect the dots for themselves. They need to, instead of listening to other people telling them what to think, take that same time where you would listen to read the New York Times, you watch the NBCs or MSNBCs or Fox News or whatever of these mainstream media sources that you're listening to. And instead of taking that time to let other people tell you what to think, go to the source. If you want to know what somebody is about, and let's use the example of Kennedy, for example, who's running for president. Everybody's trying to tell you what he thinks and talks and is, et cetera. And now with the new vice president, Nicole Shanahan, that he's announced the same thing. Take that time and actually go listen to them, answer questions and talk in complete context about an issue. There's tons of podcasts available and interviews available on YouTube, and now even some of the mainstream, where they're actually asking a question, and Kennedy is able to give a complete answer. Listen to that and connect your own dots. Don't let somebody else tell you that they're this, they're that. Take your time to do your own critical thinking, listen and observe your own experiences, apply them to that, and add some critical thinking, and then make your own decisions about who you want to believe, support, etc. So that's one of the most important things that we've lost, is that curiosity to do our own thinking for ourselves.
There's a term that Swami Beyantananda, my cosmic comic cohort, came up with to describe what we are being fed, and it's Babylon, Babylon, baby food. Babylon is the spoon-fed, pre-digested baby food to keep us in political diapers, and it's very important that we begin to recognize that we are at a moment of tremendous danger and opportunity. I like to think back to the greatest generation, perhaps the generation of our parents and grandparents who had to drop everything they were doing basically after December 7th, 1941. And all kinds of people put their plans for their lives on hold and decided that they needed to mobilize to fight this Nazi menace. Well, right now, the menace is not Nazism as much as it is Notseeism, Notsee. And it's been people who've been choosing to not see what's too frightening to look at. And our generation has not been called upon to have political courage. And we have a candidate who has stood up to take a stand. Obviously, not everybody's going to agree with everything he has to say. However, it's very important that we recognize the fundamental courage that Bobby Kennedy has to stand up to the slings and arrows and worse of taking on this huge monolith that my friend Richard Flyer is calling the everything industrial complex. So, yeah.
Oh, I was just gonna, sorry for interrupting for a second. You said a couple of things I'd like to not let go by. One is, that we don't agree with everything somebody thinks. And people say, oh, I'm gonna hold on to, oh, I don't know if I can vote for Robert Kennedy because of this or particularly that, that I've, and they've always, when you ask them facts about, well, I heard this or someone told me that, some science says, etc. And it's like, come on, people. Again, think for yourself. We have evidence that we all see around us in our streets, in our families, everywhere we look, of the devastation of our culture that's going on right now. This issue of health, safety, mental illness, on and on we could go. These aren't even being dealt with and talked about. And the two parties that have been leading our country for many, many years, the policies that they've implemented, we live in the results of those policies. They don't. They have security guards. They have, live like rock stars and travel and treat it, but they're not out there trying to figure out how to get their kids healthy, how to get their kids into school, how to get a good job so that they can actually afford to live in California. So we have the results of their policies that we can see from both parties. And we have to have just that simple political courage to say, enough's enough. And Steve's humor is what is great to help connect us with people and to motivate, inspire. I always have to pray to myself to hold on to my passion so I don't get carried away too passionate about it. But it's time, folks, for people to stand up, come front and center. It's you're not nobody's shooting at you. Nobody's asking you to go sleep in a foxhole and eat out of a ration can. They're asking you to think for yourself. Don't let others tell you what to think. Look around at the evidence your eyes give you in your streets, in your family, and amongst your friends, and say, when is it going to be enough that we change directions and focus on healing our country, healing our health, physically, mentally, and spiritually? How do we come back to the sacred of our planet, our communities? So, Steve.
You mentioned humor. This is really it's a very powerful tool because we have been inundated with fear of the other. There are some definitely some real issues, real things going on that are creating danger, physical danger to ourselves and through our environment and through the food we eat and et cetera, et cetera. And I think it's really important that at this time of awakening, that's why I've got this the great upwising, where in the old days when people were dissatisfied, there'd be a revolutionary uprising to overthrow. Well, we know about revolutions. It's like the great song by The Who, "Meet the old boss, same as the new, be the new boss, same as the old boss." Revolution keeps you revolving around the same hamster wheel of misfortune and the un-merry-go-round that's essentially a death spiral for our civilization. Our generation, those of us who are baby boomers and so on. This is our opportunity to pass the torch rather than the torture along to the next generation and share what we know and create a bridge so that the people who are in their 20s, 30s, and 40s have some hope for the future. And because that's what they're going to be living in the future. And so, right now, this is a time for anyone who has children, grandchildren, great grandchildren to stop being afraid. I read a book many years ago in my study of humor. Believe it or not, the book was called, it was a book about humor and the Holocaust, believe it or not. And it talked about the uses of humor during this most horrible time. Laughter in hell, that's what it was called, laughter in hell.
Laughter in hell.
Laughter in hell, humor in the Holocaust. And one of the sad jokes was about a concentration camp. These two Jewish guys are standing in front of the firing squad, and one of them yells at the SS guy, "You rotten bastard, you'll rot in hell." And the other one goes, "Shh, don't make any trouble." So I think we're at the point now where we have a lot of guns aimed at us from many, many different directions, and it's time for us to step up and not go, "Shh, don't make any trouble." Trouble is all around us, and we have an opportunity to transform history right now. We have a chance to actually make America great again for real by being a model for taking over our own country. And that's where we're at right now.
Well, make America great again. I started to, when I hear that term, when it was first brought up, I railed against it because America's only been great for some of the people. And so I always would say, when people say make America great again, I'd say make America great for all. But now we've transformed beyond that, where we have to heal America. We have to heal America and bring America to a place of health. One of the things about history that I want to bounce back to a little bit is this Ross Perot. Because Ross Perot, you hear this issue of spoiler effect being pounded away at people. Oh, any vote other than for a Biden or a Trump is a vote that's going to give your worst nightmare the opportunity to get elected. And so they're playing upon your fear that Steve mentioned. And that fear is based on a falsehood. When Ross Perot ran for office in 1992, first and foremost, it's important to know the reason he withdrew from the campaign for a 6-week window from the middle of July until the 1st of October, actually a little more than 6 weeks, I guess, but was because our CIA and Secret Service assigned to protect him came to him and told him they have multiple credible death threats against he and his family. And the family literally pleaded with him to get out. And his daughter was scheduled for a big wedding in August. And so he did. And during that period, he went from over 40%, where he had a huge lead over Clinton and Bush, plummeted down to under 10% as they beat him up in the media, he's not serious, et cetera. Then the same Secret Service and CIA come back and say, oh, we've invested. Investigated all those, and there we've got your back. We can give you protection if you chose to get back in. He did, and unfortunately, he was not able to recover from that period where he was out, and he only got 19% of the vote. And then they say, oh, that was a spoiler. Well, there were two exit polls, and there's a show called 35-8, And we'll make sure to put that a link to that in our show notes for people. But it's still up there, a little 10-minute documentary called The Perot Myth. And they go into the fact that it's a lie perpetrated. The exit poll that they were referring to showed that 38% of Democrats and 38% of Republicans who voted for it made up that 19% of Ross Perot. In another exit poll, they asked two questions. Who did you vote for? And if you thought Ross Perot could have been elected, whom would you have voted for? 63% of the people polled said they would have voted for Ross Perot if they thought he could have been elected. Unfortunately, only 19% actually had the courage to go in there and say, I'm not going to vote for the lesser of two evils. I'm going to vote for that person I believe in. If half of that 63% had voted for Ross Perot, he would have won. Kennedy only needs about 36%, maybe 38% of the entire electorate to vote for him that vote. And of that exit poll, it was almost a dead even split. 32% to 31%, that 63% was made up of Democrats and Republicans. Again, it was an even split. There is no spoiler. Americans can sense what they know is wrong. Americans know right now that we want a leader that will tell us the truth, is authentic, and has a proven legacy of being there supporting ordinary people and Americans. And we have that now in Kennedy. And before I leave this point of Ross Perot, Stephen, I know we've got about another 20 minutes. We can talk about so much, but there were three important, actually four important lessons that Ross Perot put forth in the book called The Perot Legacy, written by Pat Benjamin, which is available for people to read. The main takeaways of what they felt was necessary to create a successful new kind of party that could break the two-party control required four basic elements. One is you had the people demanding the truth and ready to make change. We have that time again, bigger and better, actually better, bigger and more demanding than ever in recent history. We have the right candidate. Third was they needed a national party, and that's where the Ford Party comes in. The Ford Party is building that new kind of political party nationally. They're separate entities, and in six states, We the People Party is the most direct line to get Kennedy on the ballot. But they're not building a real organization to elect grassroots people from the bottom up, people based on principles. But they are building that party, and they will be there in most every state by the time we get to next year. And then the last thing that we needed was a support system of advisors and suppliers to help those candidates stand up against the consultants and suppliers for the Democrat and Republican machines so that we could help get independent thinking people who represented people based on principles to get them elected. So those four elements, independent of each other, are coming together. And we will be hoping and planting the seeds within both organizations of Kennedy's and within Ford's that sometime, perhaps next year, after we get by the election, they'll be able to come together because we'll need a lot of people throughout the country to help implement the change that Kennedy will help lead us.
This is really interesting. Something that neither Perot nor Ralph Nader had was a real movement behind them, and in front of them. In a certain regard, to have a movement in front of you, what that means is that not only do they have your back, but that there's a leadership bringing the will of we the people to the fore. Now, I want you to imagine that this is after the election, and let's imagine that Bobby Kennedy wins. Well, what does he have? He's now a minority president. He's got two other political parties vying for power. How does anything get done? And the way that something gets done is through a movement, a front and center movement of we the people, where there's the technology available right now for people to essentially vote for policies and practices that they want to see. And when you get something that 70%, let's say, of the populace wants, then people from all sides, that because that's going to encompass people who identify as Democrats or Republicans. And that kind of power is going to be able to leverage the already members of Congress to put the government on the side of the people. And that breaks the two-party trance. When you realize that the 90% of us who are not sociopaths largely want the same things and will gather around the same virtues and values, and then you want to build a system that has the rules of the game on our side rather than the rules of the game on the side of those who have too much money and power. This is something that movement that we want to facilitate that could catapult Bobby Kennedy to the White House will even more importantly create a movement of people at the center who want to change the rules of the game and will change the rules of the game.
Steve, you said something there I want to back up on again. Minority president. Actually, Kennedy getting elected, he won't be a minority president because independents in this country now outnumber both the Democrat and Republican parties put together. So actually, what we'll have is a president who is independent of the leadership of either of those parties and the moneyed interests that control both of them that will actually be responsible to the people, the majority of people, because even within the Democrat and Republican Party, more than half of both parties don't like the leadership of what either of their parties has become. The Democratic Party and Republican Party both have left the principles of why it was somebody was proud to be both a Republican or a Democrat. So he'll actually won't be a minority president, but how do you get things done? And that's a key point. Because Congress, those people in Congress, as long as they only see the path of a Democrat or Republican party to get them reelected, they will be still under the control of them because they know without their endorsement, without their money, they don't have a chance to stand up against a endorsed candidate of their party. They'll be primaried out in the next election. And that's where Forward Party comes into play. Forward Party building that national party, which is a very open, broad base that says, come as you are, just come with based on principles, be open, willingness to listen, sit down and talk. It's not about your way or the highway attitude. It's not about beating up the opposition. It's about listening, deep listening, coming up with real solutions, being cooperative. A party like Ford, as it becomes solidified throughout the country, now those same people who originally went into office, most of them to do the right things, soon as they can see the Ford Party in their state as a path to get reelected, it'll give them the opportunity to take on and have that political courage that you talked about and we mentioned at the beginning of the podcast. They can now stand up to the leadership of the Democrats or Republicans and tell them where to stick it when they're telling them to vote on something to support more pesticides, all the crap that's killing our people, poisoning our people. They'll be able to say no. They'll be able to do what their heart, what their mind, and their constituents know is the best thing for the vast majority of people to heal our country. They'll have that ability to say no and do the right thing because if they want to challenge the leadership and leadership says you either vote this way or you'll lose your endorsement, they'll say, fine, I'll just become a Fordist Democrat. I'll be a Fordist Republican. I don't have to change who I am. I just need to change the party I affiliate with to do the right thing. And that's where the Forward Party combined with Kennedy can give us that political power to take the movement of the people and put it into action to make these changes. So that's how we'll get things done, is when people can do the right thing and have a leader at the top that can help call them out and give them the tools and the pathways to deal with these issues of how do we heal our nation.
That's really important. We don't, as the joke goes, we don't need a new third party in this country. We need a new first party.
Exactly.
And that could be the first party, as you said. part of the independence movement is recognizing the need for us all to work together and solve problems rather than devolve into this or that narratives. Like, the joke again that's not funny is that we become more active. No longer are the two sides, are people on two sides rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. Now they're throwing them at each other. So the part of that is recognizing the insanity, bipolar insanity, of the two sides fighting one another rather than fighting for what we all want. So the forward party becomes, as you say, a vehicle for that to happen. And the fact that 50% of people identify as independent, maybe this will give them a chance to go, you know what, we're not represented. Here's somebody who's going to represent us, not because he represents some ideology, but because he represents the desire to represent we the people.
And one of the things that people have said, this passion, why the sense of urgency? And it's like, excuse me, it's like, come on, folks, look around. Are you comfortable with knowing how many of our brothers and sisters are going to bed each night in a gutter? How many of our fellow citizens are obese? We've got what, 40 plus percent of Americans obese now, over 30% with some kind of chronic diseases. Come on, folks, what's enough? How urgent is it when we all know somebody in our close personal circle of friends or family that is dealing with one of these physical or mental issues? If we are truly people that believe in a God, a spirit, something beyond ourselves, how can you go to bed every night in your nice, warm, comfortable bed and say, oh, I'll get up tomorrow and after my game of tennis or after my cocktail hour, I'll go donate this and that. But, come on. How long are we going to sit by and let our nation and the world continue to go down this path of these chronic diseases and illnesses that we now know are directly connected to the types of chemicals put into our food processing, the type of pesticides and farming practices that are used to degrade the quality of our food and the nutrients. I recently heard, and I believe it to be fact. When I was a kid, when Steve and I, when you mentioned boomers, yeah, everybody who's watching this knows, yeah, we're boomers, that's for damn sure. And you know what? We had a lot of fun when we were young. We had it right on peace and freedom. I kind of got screwed up, many of us, on drugs and materialism and a few things, and we lost our way. So now we're hoping to take in our exit strategy to hand off to the next generations and future generations, help provide some wisdom so they don't make the same mistakes we do, and help them have that sense of urgency. Folks, how many years of evidence do we need to say that we've got to change the way our government regulates what people are allowed to put into our food, our air, our water? How many years are we going to continue with these? How many years have we been in continuous wars now where they take our sons and daughters, play off of our patriotism, to put them off in wars where they're getting killed for somebody else's self-enrichment? Enough. I can't. What gets me up every day is knowing that what I'm working on, and Steve and thousands of others, we're just part of it, are working on changing that. We've got to change it now, not later. And that's where in California, people, the only thing you're being asked to do for Kennedy to get him on the ballot doesn't mean even that you're going to vote for him right now. But what it does say is, I definitely want a third choice on the ballot in November. All I have to do is take 5 minutes, maybe seven if you're really old like us, or maybe you can do it in three if you're one of these young Gen Zs. All you have to do is go online to the Secretary of State's office. There's plenty of ways to get there. You can find it at the teamkennedy.com. But you just go and update your party registration and say, when they give you those six choices of what's your party preference, you just say other, which is another way of saying other, yeah, because you six suck and I'm tired of that. And you just type in we the people. We need to get Kennedy. We need to get 75,000 people to register for We the People Party in California by the end of June so that we have a third choice on the ballot come November. And then you've got another 4 or 5 months to figure it out if that's really what you want to vote for. But at least you know you have that choice when you go into the ballot box, not to make the lesser of two evils. I'll stop there for the moment, but it drives me crazy. Oh, I want to finish something about food. When we were kids, Steve, we would eat one carrot. You know what the nutrient value to get out of that same carrots today is? You have to eat 8 carrots today to eat on average to equal the nutrient value on average of what we would eat in one carrot. That's how much our food nutrients have been degraded by the change in farming practices, the use of pesticides, and the way we've mistreated the soil. There's just so many things around us that we all can see that are wrong, and we now have the evidence to connect the dots.
I'm going to add one thing, and
just
it's
one?
just one. I call it 1965. 1965.
One year.
That was the year. That was the year that I became the first kid on my block to stand up against the Vietnam War. Not a very popular position at that time. You know, we just LBJ defeated Barry Goldwater, who was supposed to be the candidate who was going to get us all nuked to death. Big landslide, and then we've escalated the war in Vietnam. And I had a good friend. We were in. He was at City College. I was at Brooklyn College. He was Army ROTC, going to be a paratrooper. And he very much disagreed with my position. However, by 1967, he and I were both on the same side. What happened? And what happened was teach-ins that the populace were going for the mainstream narrative that, we seek no wider war, the Gulf of Tonkin, all of this stuff. But it took 2 years for the energy to shift to the point where more people were opposed to the war. And so right now we have an opportunity. We have a, let's call it a 5 or 6 month opportunity now to create teach-ins. And one of the best things about Robert Kennedy Jr. is that he's a teacher. He is a teacher. He is an instructor about metapolitics, about the story beyond the two-party narrative and divide. And every time I listen to him, I learn stuff. And I'm a political science major, for 60 years, right? So if I'm learning something, then he's got something to say. So part of what's going to be happening over this next period of time that I'm very excited about front and center, taking a front and center position on, is helping to proliferate the re-education of the American public to what they've missed by being either in this narrative or in the other narrative. And as you said right at the beginning of this program, Michael, learning to think for ourselves. Second tenet of our three-step program at Front and Center, from political battlefields to cooperative playing fields. Second is seeking the whole truth together so that we can have our final principle, which is putting government on the side of the people. So I think our job is going to be in the education domain so that more and more people allow themselves to think outside the box and think outside the given narratives. And that's what's going to really fuel this independence movement.
You know, going back to what you talked about Vietnam, we were told that the North Vietnamese attacked our ships. You mentioned Gulf of Tonkin. And people say, oh, our government wouldn't lie to us. Well, in our lifetimes, we've had some major significant lies that have proven out that are why we know that we're to question our government always, as we should question everything that's told to us if we can't observe it and it doesn't make logical sense and we can't connect the dots. We were told that the North Vietnamese attacked our ships in the Gulf of Tonkin. That was taken before Congress and used as the bludgeon to get Johnson, allow Johnson and Congress to escalate the war in Vietnam. We later learned that was a bold-faced lie, never happened. Okay. President Kennedy's assassination, we were told that it was some lone shooter. Then later we find out that it was obviously it wasn't one lone shooter. There were two different guns minimally used in it, and bullets from two different guns. Yet we were told it was only one lone shooter, when in fact it was most likely, and what there's a lot of evidence that says it was a CIA mafia plan to do that, because Kennedy had spoken publicly only weeks before his assassination that he was going to blow the CIA into 1,000 pieces, because after being president for 2.5 years, he had learned that our CIA was going around the world starting revolutions, assassinating leaders, doing all kinds of ugly shit that did not represent American values. And Kennedy, after learning that and after the Bay of Pigs, said they need to be brought into responsibility and under the control of the American people and use our values. A few weeks later, he was assassinated. There's so many lies that we've been told from we could go into, but folks, that's where you have to think for yourself, and have the curiosity. In our limited time, because we don't want to go too far, we could continue on this for hours. So, Steve, what are some of the most important things you'd like to kind of start wrapping up the show with that you'd like our audience and friends to know from your perspective?
Well, there is the challenge that Bobby Kennedy issued this week as he announced his vice presidential candidate. And this is a challenge. Are we going to vote for what we truly want, or are we going to vote against what we don't want? Are we going to vote out of expansiveness and love and hope for the future, or are we going to hunker in the bunker with our tribe in fear and vote, hope that the status quo doesn't get any worse, don't start any trouble as we're standing in front of the firing squad. So I think this is the opportunity for us to gently, and maybe not so gently, challenge our friends and neighbors to take the very first step, which is the one that you suggested, particularly in California. Let's get this guy on the ballot. You can always decide later whether you're going to vote for him. Very important that his voice be heard. Very important that this voice be heard, because his voice is the only one out there of the major three people running who is really speaking for the American people.
Let me, since we're going to put it in our show notes, we're going to have folks a lot of links that will take you directly to specific YouTube videos for the most part, that you can go and take the time to hear for yourself things. But to give you a little sense of Robert Kennedy for those who haven't listened to him specifically about his introduction to Shanahan. So when I listened to it, I summarized it with this. The conversation centered around the need for political independence from corruption and partisan allegiance. When Robert Kennedy Jr. and Nicole Shanahan, what they emphasized just Tuesday when they announced the selection of Nicole and Robert Kennedy made the introduction, both of them emphasized the importance of moral courage in pursuing this goal. Nicole shared her personal story of overcoming poverty and immigration challenges, highlighting the importance of empathy and compassion in politics. Both discussed the growing concern about the chronic disease epidemic in America and the need for compassionate solutions that prioritize the well-being of Americans. They also emphasized the critical role mothers play in creating a better future for themselves, their children, and the nation. They underscored the need for a more compassionate and supportive society that values the sacredness of our health, our communities, and our planet. In Kennedy's own words, I want to read you just a couple of short, brief quotes. "I'm bringing on someone with a deep inside knowledge of how big tech uses AI to manipulate the public. I want to partner with someone who has strong ideas about how to reverse those dire threats to democracy and to our freedoms. I managed to find a technologist at the forefront of AI. She has spent the last decade relying on new neural networks, artificial intelligence, and cutting-edge science to identify abuses in our government. She understands the health of every American is a national security issue and a national security risk. Her work has proven time and time again that health drives our economy and is the foundation of our mental health, our national happiness, and our ability to lead the world through innovation, prosperity, and peace. So folks, I encourage you to go listen to more specifics of why Robert Kennedy chose Nicole Shanahan to be his running mate, and decide for yourself, do we need another politician who doesn't understand? We have so few politicians that understand any of this about AI, health, etc. We have people there with Robert Kennedy and Nicole Shanahan that understand the depth of these problems and enough to know and ask the right questions.
Well, I think that says it. I think that's a good wrap for where we are. I'm really looking forward to seeing the kinds of guests that we bring on. And also, I'm looking to see that the combined forces of Front and Center and the Great Uprising offer people education, as you said, these various videos that will help shape a bigger understanding of what's been going on, so that we can compress 1965 to 1967 into just under 6 months.
I'd like to leave us again with a quote from Robert Kennedy Jr. in his call to learn a lesson from the past. Quote, "We need to start listening to each other, even when it's difficult. We need to sit through the anger. We need to sit with each other and listen to the feelings and not walk away and not see each other as enemies, but to learn to love each other, even through that anger and vitriol. We need to start coming back to each other as Americans again." He's the kind of leader that we need at this time. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Michael. We look forward to continuing this conversation, bringing in some esteemed guests, and viva la uprising, and may the American people come front and center so that we can move forward together.
I want to make sure to invite those watching, our audience, to continue to follow us. We're going to bring on some great guests. I hope you go back and look at the amazing guests that we've had this past 2 years. And if you're watching on YouTube or listening to our audio podcast, please subscribe, please like, and of course, please share with your friends and followers. If you would consider becoming a supporter so Steve and I could continue our work, that would be awesome. You can do so by going to frontandcenter.us or go search us on Rumble. There you can become a supporter. Steve and I would be very appreciative of any support you can give. Remember, from political battlefields to cooperative playing fields, it's a long journey to the more beautiful and just world our hearts know is possible. Let's go there together. Thank you.